You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 34. And in our exercise of the book of Jeremiah, God is reminding us that history goes downhill and that God knows all that and is working out his glorious plan for a new heavens and a new earth. But it has to finish here, have to finish what we're doing on earth. So in the process, here's Jeremiah, here's Nebuchadnezzar, he's about to level the city. So when we come to chapter 34, 34, 35, 36, when we come to that, we're looking, remember the Jeremiah isn't caught up in chronology too much. He wants to say something, get his point. He'll say something that's way back, comes way down here. He'll say it up here. And when he wants to, he's trying to, God's making it work out. So here we are, and going back and Jeremiah is going to tell us 34, what happened in the invasion when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, and what about Zedekiah the king? So chapter 34 and verse 1. And the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army and all his kingdoms of the earth. Remember, he had all. Babylon was a big, big spread. It included many countries. The many countries were under the domain of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, though they're all there, and they're coming in. And his domain, verse 1, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities thereof. So he's looking, God, here comes Nebuchadnezzar, and he's with his army, and he's coming, and they're attacking all the cities, etc. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. I'll tell you, Zedekiah, you go remind him. Now here's, and by the way, the context, in 586 is when they burn the city. This is probably 588, because once Nebuchadnezzar comes in like this, he's there for a couple of years before he gets the city. So things are happening, and he's there, his army invading. So, and therefore, in verse, burn it with fire, verse 2. Verse 3, thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but thou shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. That's what's going to happen, Zedekiah, to you. The city's going to be burned, and you're going to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And in the process, so having said that, going back to that, and yet, now, verse 4, yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword. So other people die, but you're not going to die. And verse 5, but thou shalt die in peace. In other words, you're going to live and die in Babylon. Thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings, keep reading, the burnings of thy fathers. They didn't do cremation, so we aren't talking about cremation. We're talking about, keep reading, the burnings of the Father, the former things which were before thee, so shall they burn odors for thee, and they will lament thee, saying, Ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord. So they're going to go and have, the Israel is going to be concerned about the loss of their last king, and they're going to do it. They're going to have odors and odors and everything they do in funerals in their religious activity. Now, and therefore, verse 6, then Jeremiah the prophet spake all these words unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem. So the king hears all these things. And when the king's, well, let me see if I want to do that yet. No. In the process, well, I'll do it. Verse 7. And when the king of Babylon's army, fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish, against Azekah, and for these defended cities remained, fortified cities, remained in the cities of Judah. So that gives us, without going to chapter 39, gives us, he's coming in, he's coming down, he's invading the city. And in the process, he's taken all the places, but he hasn't at this time of writing, he hasn't taken Lachish or Azekah. They haven't taken that. And Lachish is 35 miles southwest of Jerusalem, and Azekah is 15 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And those are fortified cities, and they're there. That's what they are. And Rehoboam enforced them, the king. So there, and Jerusalem. So here's Nebuchadnezzar in Palestine, and he's taken all these cities, but he didn't take these two cities, and he hasn't taken Jerusalem. So the context, you got it. Here's Nebuchadnezzar, he's coming, he hasn't taken these two cities yet, he hasn't taken Jerusalem. Now, and so therefore, keep that in mind, and some pieces of information that help us. Over to Jeremiah and chapter 27. Jeremiah and chapter 27. And, if we may, chapter 27. May I go, all starting in verse 6. 27:6. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of Babylon. In other words, the other nations are going to conquer Babylon and Media Persia. Verse 8, it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with pestilence, hang on to that, until I have consumed them by his hand. Now, everyone, now that includes Jerusalem. Jerusalem can't win. And God has put Nebuchadnezzar, that's his turn, at the top of the pile here. And verse 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophet, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers of dreams, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. So God is reminding them, don't listen to the priests, the prophets, the king, anybody. You need to surrender to Babylon. That's the best thing to do, because Babylon is going to be the power, and no one's going to beat them, and no one's going to be able to do it. So therefore, sliding down in verse 10, for they prophesy a lie, that they aren't telling the truth, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. So every nation that understands Nebuchadnezzar's at the top of the pile, and every nation that recognizes that can keep their job, keep their house, keep everything, and Nebuchadnezzar's not going to do a thing except let you live and pay your taxes. And you got the idea. That's what you're going to do if you do that. Now, keeping that in mind, now Zedekiah, do you know that? Oh, Zedekiah knows that. Now, what else do we need to know? You need to know that. Everyone has to, and that includes Jerusalem. Nicely yield. Don't fight them. You'll lose. Therefore, Jeremiah chapter 37. In Jeremiah chapter 37, and picking up if I can, starting in verse 5. Now, verse 4. Now Jeremiah came and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison yet. Then Pharaoh's army, remember, he is Nebuchadnezzar's coming. There's Lachish, Azekah out there, and here they are, and here's Jerusalem. So there's freedom. Nebuchadnezzar's out there, but he isn't here yet. The fire's out there, but the fire isn't here yet. So therefore, what else do we need that helps us? Then, verse 5, Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So, now, God, are you being gracious? Yes. Zedekiah had a commitment. Nebuchadnezzar made Zedekiah king under the understanding that he would honor Nebuchadnezzar and do everything that he was supposed to. Zedekiah, he didn't do that. We read chapter 27, he should have done that, but he didn't do that. So what did he do? He went and sent messengers to Egypt and to other countries around, as you read, to come together as an ally to join him, Zedekiah, Egyptian army, to go against Nebuchadnezzar. And so the Egyptian army commenced crossing, coming up north. The news reached Nebuchadnezzar, so he had to quit doing right he was doing in Jerusalem and concentrate on fighting the Egyptian army coming up against him and the other countries. So he does that. Now Zedekiah shouldn't have done that. God allowed that. God also allowed what? When the Egyptian army was coming up and Nebuchadnezzar backed off and there was a break in Jerusalem, there's no Nebuchadnezzar out there. He's gone down there after the Egyptians. So we went, wow. Now God allowed that. God allowed Zedekiah, did the wrong thing, a number of them. Here's one of them. He did the wrong thing. And Jeremiah and Israel is now free to bounce around a little bit without a threat of the enemy upon them. So they're doing that. Now, if I can, chapter 37 and verse 6. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, verse 7, the God of Israel shall say to the king of Judah that sent you, sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. Now, here's Pharaoh's army. Nebuchadnezzar's distracted, and he doesn't have to fight Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh's army retreats back to Egypt. So they retreat. Now, having said, here's a break. And in the process, I might as well finish that. Verse 8, and the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Now, the plan didn't change, but Israel had a break. They had a break, a little space, maybe, to do something that might have spared them. But they aren't going to do it. Now, and thus in verse 9, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. What are they saying? They aren't there, the Egyptians. We aren't going to see them again. We're off the hook. There's no threat. God said, I don't want you to hear that. There is a threat. So you get a break. Why do you need to understand that? So you understand how it's going. So, having said that a little bit, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 34. And in chapter 34, picking up again in the process. Now here's Zedekiah. What he's going to do, and in the process, what's he do? Verse 8, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. He made a covenant. Now, here's the break, and Zedekiah isn't stupid. He's only got so many people, and they had a lot of servants, slaves, that were there, the Hebrews did, and that were there for many reasons. And in the process, I need everyone to have as much as possible a sword in their hand to fight Nebuchadnezzar. I need as many as possible. I'm not going to get the servants. I got to have the servants. I got to have everybody. So now you're going to, what, Zedekiah? I'm going to go and make a covenant. I'm going to make a contract. I'm going to say something that we haven't done. We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to go, and let me read it so you see it. In verse 9, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself to them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother. In other words, you're going to go and set all the Jewish people free because they're servants. They take care of the many things. And they in debt, you know, from Leviticus 25 and that. If they're in debt, they owe money, they need a job, things haven't worked, whatever. And they have to serve other people. And they sell themselves for so many years. But what do you know? God, Leviticus 25, In the process, the law of liberty, God goes and sets the servant can only, Jews can only serve Jews for 6 years. After 6 years, they have to let him go free. God, it's only because of circumstances, but God doesn't mean you to stay stuck in your slavery till you die. Every 7 years, at the seventh year, you let them all go free and see if they can find their way to fix things in their life. Let them go free. I'm going to get him what? What are you doing, Zedekiah? I'm going to make a law in the temple. In the temple, I'm going to make a law. And in the process, I'm going to do it. And in doing it, I'm going to do it in his name. I'm going to do it in the presence of God. So I'm going to make something. I'm not going to do it outside. I'm going to go in the sacred place where God is. I'm going to go where there is. And we're going to make a covenant. So what's he do? He's going to go and cut, as it were, make a covenant, cut the animal in half, as you'll see, and cut the animal, and they pass between it, and the covenant is made. All the owners and people agree and set everybody free. So they're all free, and they shout. They should have been doing it every 6 years, but they haven't. And this is not the normal 7 years, because he's setting everyone free, no matter who you are, whether you're a Jew or not a Jew, anyone in servitude, anyone in bondage, you're free. Get a sword and come join us. You're free. And that's what he's saying to them. You're all free. And he's going to say that. And of course that, in the process. So now, keeping that in mind, they're all free to go. And having done that, he makes that covenant. And he has a little space, everyone shouting, and yay, we'll all join together and go and fight the Nebuchadnezzar. We'll fight him. Yay for everybody. But Nebuchadnezzar has been gone. That's why you read that in chapter 37. And Nebuchadnezzar's down there trying to head off if he has to go and fight the Egyptians. So he's gone. And what did we just read? We just read it in Jeremiah 37. What is everybody saying to each other? They've gone. They aren't coming back. But we read they were coming back. But the people said they're not coming back. That's why. So Zedekiah, since he's not, they're gone, what do you now do? You rescind the covenant. You make a law. Everyone is taxed. Your taxes, don't pay them this year. I need you all to be with me. Don't pay your taxes. And then the threat is gone. And I come, pay double your taxes. See? One way to, what are they doing? They're trying to work people. You're saying something, and you told us to believe you, and you are totally untrustworthy. You lied to us. That's our government. Now, sliding over if I can. And verse 10. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. Now we did that part. They're all free. Verse 11. But afterward, they turned and caused the servants and the maidservants, handmaids, whom they had let go free, to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. In other words, he made everyone go back to the slavery. Everyone go back. They were supposed to be believing every 6 years, according to the law, Leviticus 25. They're supposed to go and let them go free every 6 years. They haven't done that. They've been serving slaves for years. They don't follow the rules. The rules are broken. They aren't there. But now we try to do the rules. And God said, that's very good that you try to do the rules. But in trying to do the rules, you then went and broke. You did one thing that was right for once, and then you went and rescinded it. That's the thing you got now. And afterwards, now return and brought them. Okay, now verse 12. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, and to this, and at the end of 7 years, let every man, his brother, and Hebrews, which hath been sold unto thee, and when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. In other words, I set you free from Egyptian slavery. I didn't want you to be a slave again. And if you do have to be a slave, you can only be a slave for 6 years. So you're free. So if you got a problem, you live with your problem for 6 years and you're free. Now, having said that, now verse 15, and you were now turned and done right in my sight by making and doing what you did in the covenant. You should have done it many long ago, but at least you're doing it in proclamating liberty, freedom. Let every man to his neighbor, and ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. So it isn't just a nice little commitment out in the street. It's a commitment made in the sanctuary, which we just said. That's a sacred thing. Well, we do. We're not out in the street. We're in the presence of God. It's different. And that's what they did. They went right in the temple Zedekiah did to do it. Now, and therefore, verse 12, 16, but ye turned and polluted my name, caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure, desire. In other words, they desired to be free. They didn't have to be, but they desired to be, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty. Now, got to jump into that. So if you just get a little bit, remember, here we are, and they are not doing it, and they said everyone's free, they're going to honor God, and then they said Zedekiah dishonors God. And dishonoring God, God's going to go to Zedekiah, as we read, and just picking up, Zedekiah is going to go and be taken captive. Actually, reading ahead or thinking ahead, when Nebuchadnezzar's in the city, Zedekiah and his men, a number of his troops, sneak out the back and run away. They try to run away from Nebuchadnezzar, and they're out there running away. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, where is he? And he's out there. And so his men go after him, and they get the men, kill them, and get Zedekiah. Zedekiah is brought back to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, what are you going to do? Well, Nebuchadnezzar is going to go and take you to Babylon. So don't be so happy yet. I'm going to go, and I'm going to take your sons, and I'm going to have your sons stand before you, and I'm going to kill them, said Nebuchadnezzar. And then I'm going to put out your eyes and blind you. And I'm going to be, you're going to be my prisoner in Babylon till you die. That's your lot, Zedekiah. That's jumping ahead. You got that? Zedekiah isn't going to come out good. Zedekiah, you're doing what you're doing. And you're going and breaking, you're making it so there's no way to fix. Because you're supposed to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and you aren't surrendering. You're fighting him. You don't fight the system. You fight as much as you can when it's time to fight. And then when it's time, another time, you don't. We fought in the Second World War with Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and etc. And we did that. And we did that. And we fought against them. And it wasn't their place to take over. So we fought and we won. And we lost a lot of men. People died. So here we are at our turn, and we're looking. It would be good to fight. It's awful hard to fight what we're up against because we're so handicapped. The system controls everything. It controls everything. It's awful hard to fight it because no matter what you do, they did it even to the Supreme Court justice and threatened his family. Now, what do you do? Is somebody going to come around and protect you every minute? No. You got your children. You got your family. That was the Supreme Court. They keep it so you can't fight back and you can't fix the system out there. Not, the public doesn't really even know what's going on. The system out there. Boy, is it, you're going to be, it's surrounding the person running for president, all that kind of thing, you know, surrounding him and making it impossible to get out of it, no matter what you do, because we don't play the game in a clean way. Anything works. Anything that needs to be done will be done so that we will never be exposed. Never. That's the problem. Exposure to the people way up on top. And they can't let that happen. They could have anyone in there, but not one person who'll get him. And they can't have him. Now that's power. Power. Nebuchadnezzar has power, awesome power. And in the process, here he is. And God's going to go and in his wonderful, wonderful way and try to encourage them, but they aren't going to be encouraged. They just don't want to hear. And they're going to go, let me keep reading a little bit, in verse 18. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in two. In other words, they really did this up. They just didn't do a normal contract. They did the old-fashioned covenant where you take the animals and cut them in half and split them, and then you walk between them. You walk between them. Both parties walk between. They're committed. What are they committed to? If you don't keep your contract, you will be like this calf. And you will die if you don't keep the contract. You better keep the contract. They cut the calf in half and went between it. Now watch. God said... And so, and the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf, and I will even give them into the hand of the enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life. and their dead bodies shall be meat, shall be for meat for the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. And you can keep reading that. It's been already said. God said, you're going to have, I'm going to have the bodies all over the place. You're all going to die. I told you that. I told you not to do it. You went and did it. You can't do that. I'm going to let the city be burned and you be slain and left in the street to be eaten by the animals and birds. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. God, you don't do it. Oh, he says, God says, I do. Think of the tribulation coming up and all that's going to happen there. Now, having said that, here's the liberty. And sliding over, if I can, in the light of that, picking up, if I can, verse 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, freedom. Everyone is brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, God, you're going to use the liberty again. Liberty. They had the right to exercise the liberty that God gave them and honor God and set them free. They did not do it. God said, since you won't take the liberty I give you, I am going to exercise liberty. Okay, same word. Verse 17, behold, I proclaim liberty for you, saith the Lord. Liberty for what? Liberty, freedom. I'm going to let you find the sword and pestilence and plague and famine. I'm going to let liberty, I'm going to let the dragon loose to get you. I'm going to let it loose. I'm going to set it free to slay you. Now, having said that a little bit, now we haven't touched very much. Are you getting? I want you to get the sense of the seriousness of this whole thing. And if you, so here we are, quickly, here we are right now in our country, going through awesome time, and all of it's up here. All of the stuff changing, the power, everything up here. We're down here. So we look out the window, we go to the grocery store, a little more food, gasoline, but hey, television program's the same. We do it. Ah, we don't understand when gets finished up, moves, this is going to come down right to where you are and I am. And we're going to be under those rules and that regimentation, and it's not going away. Hopefully, if I could move it down, I'd move it down, and then I'd say, Lord, you see where it is? It's down here. So if you don't mind, would you please take us home? See? But yeah, I brought it down fast because we don't fool around and go home. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so A in all these things, keep in mind, if you would, that you cannot, a good point, Israel could only lose from within. You could never beat Israel. Israel is God's prized nation. God will protect Israel. Even if the, when they said, if they had kept the covenant and didn't break it in 2 minutes, as soon as they could break it, if they just held it, just maybe God would have let Nebuchadnezzar go back. But they'll never know that. Now, so here we are looking at God. So nothing can get God, Israel. The only way you get Israel is from within. Communism, good old-fashioned communism. The way to beat the enemy is surround them. In the 50s, 1950s, surround America, nuclear power, atomic power and all these awful things. Surround them and then cause them to get after each other and eat each other up. And we won't have to go to war. They'll just kill themselves and we'll just come in and take over. Old-fashioned communism. That's what you do. Now, what are we going to do? What are we doing? Point. No one can get your life out of line except you. You're the only one that can louse up your life. I'd underline that with many lines and make it large print. No one can louse up your life except you. Do you understand that? Family, friends, enemy, the world, death itself. Death and life, think of Romans 8. Pestilence, where you want to go. Nothing can separate you. You can only lose it when you give up that and exercise. You fail to exercise your relationship to God and you start living any old which way. And then you're looking for what? God to come in and help me. And that's what they did. And you may have overdone that. And God doesn't come in to help you. It's too late to help you. A lesson. No one can get your life out of line except you. So never, 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 never blame anybody for a lousy attitude and everything else. Only you make that. And that's important. I need to understand that. Otherwise, I'm looking for to be saved out here. Looking over Jeremiah chapter 2. I'm just starting to apply this for you. I hope you got a little bit anyway. Jeremiah chapter 2. Picking up. In verse 26, 2 and 26, as the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They were kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. Why? Saying to a stalk, an idol, a piece of wood, thou art of my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they shall say, arise, and we got to turn to God. But God won't hear. It isn't that God didn't know. The city's going to be burned, and it can't be stopped, because you're never going to fix it. I have to burn the city. Therefore, verse 28, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. And for your correction, your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. You've eaten yourself up. That's what you've done. You've eaten yourself up. So if you want to get help, look to your system you got. You don't have the confidence, comfortableness, surety, my God, you're enough, and into thy hands, like our Lord, I commend my heart, my soul, my substance, my situation, my whole world. Here I am, God. What am I going to do, God? I don't need you to come to help me. No, I need me to give myself to you, so that you can do what you need to do. That makes sense? I don't need to give. God, help me. No, no. God, I need to make sure I am at your command like Joshua. I am at your command, and I look to you, God, to take care of all of it, not according to my desires, but according to yours. That's what I want. It isn't the need. No. The need is endless. The problems are endless. Humans are always going to be, us humans are always going to be human until God takes us home and gets rid of this old nature. So God, you have to look to you to get me through each hour, each minute, each second. God, thank you very much. Thank you.